From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. A lot of musicians, most rock musicians, go through the experience of having a band break up. And a lot of the time, it's tumultuous and nerve-wracking, and it leaves you up in the air. It's what happened to the guys in the band Quiet Oaks. A couple of years ago, their band broke up, and those who were still around had to figure out what to do next. Do you go your separate ways? Do you start over? Do you ditch music altogether? Dane Sandberg says they sat down and they talked about it, and they figured they didn't really want to let this one bad experience keep them from the thing they really wanted, to make music. Sandberg told City Weekly, "We gotta keep doing this because if we don't, we'll get stagnant and die." Today in the program, Quiet Oaks will be live in studio to show us what they've come up with. It's part of our local music series, so join us after the news.
Take Radio West wherever you go with KUER's mobile app for Android and iPhone. Public radio is always a swipe away with KUER's mobile app, free and available for download right now in your mobile phone's app store.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. So if you're a rock band and you've gone through a breakup and a lot of people knew your music from before, it can't be easy to move on. The breakup itself probably wasn't exactly easy either, and you have to figure out then how to rebuild or whether to rebuild and what happens to whatever chemistry you had or what happens to your process. A year and a half ago or so, this is what happened to the guys in the band Quiet Oaks. They had a different name then, and for all kinds of reasons, it didn't work out, but making music and playing music live was really important enough for them to want to try to give it another go. Today in the program, we're continuing our local music series. Quiet Oaks is joining us to play some of the new music they're creating and to talk about the lessons they've learned along the way. Let me introduce the band. They're with us here. Dane Sandberg on vocals and guitar. Dane, welcome to you.
Hello.
Mike or Michael Moon, is it Michael?
Whichever you like.
Whichever you like. Welcome. On bass guitar.
Thank you.
Kramer McCausland on keys.
Hey,
Kramer,
cool.
Welcome. John Butler on lead guitar.
How you doing?
Welcome to John. And Spencer Sayer on drums.
Yeah, happy
Spencer,
to be here.
Spencer, welcome. Should also mention next week they'll be starting the West Coast leg of their national tour. We may talk a little bit about that. We'll give you details about that a little bit later as we go along. So are you all Davis County boys?
Yeah.
Layton and Bountiful and so
technically Kramer, Fruit Heights.
Fruit Heights, Caseville. Yeah. So the big, obviously that leads to the question I was wondering about: how is it that guys from the suburbs start to encounter rock music? Not like that's that novel, but I mean it's a conservative place, and
yeah.
So what was it like thinking about music, creating music from
well
a place
I
like
think
that?
I think it kind of helps in a lot of ways. When you grow up in the suburbs, especially in a place like Davis County, there's a lot of really nice people there and nice houses, and it's kind of like everything is nice all the time.
Yeah.
That as a kid you're kind of like, well, man, I just want to rebel against this somehow. Like,
yeah.
How can I rebel against this? Because I think every kid wants to rebel at least a little bit, at least at some point in their life, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that rock music is kind of an easy way to do that. Just be like, you know what? I'm going to blare this through my speakers, and I'm going to buy a guitar and learn how to play it
yeah.
and annoy my parents, you know?
Yeah. So do you think in some ways that has helped – like, not whether you're consciously thinking about it all the time, but do you think in some ways it helped you define the kind of musicians you became? It was a response to the suburbs or a response to, like, the culture or something conservative? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. I think that the suburbs, like Dane said, they're perfect all the time, you
yeah.
know? And sometimes that puts a lot of pressure on people to be perfect and do those things. But when you're a kid, it also makes for a lot of angst and a lot of pressure that you don't want to fall into. So being able to play rock music is a good way to get that angst out.
In a healthy way.
In a healthier way, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think.
As opposed to an alternative.
I wonder yeah. if... I know you guys, a lot of you anyway, like classic rock.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that work? Was it stuff that you had heard before?
A lot of us, it was... either friends or siblings. For me, it was my older brother. my older brother at a really young age. You know, he took me to my first concert ever, which was Aerosmith and Kiss.
Wow.
When I was 12 or 13. And, you know, he kind of just gave me the rundown. He's like, these bands are cool. These bands are dumb. So listen to the cool bands. And those bands just happen to be, you know, AC/DC and Kiss and Zeppelin. And so I don't know, man. I really grew to love that kind of music. And it, you know, especially classic rock, when you're a kid, it almost seems like they're not real, you know, because people don't really play that kind of music anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything looks different and sounds different. It seems like they're just so good that as a kid, it's really easy to just look at that and idolize it, you know, and start to become obsessed with it.
What about the rest of you guys? And how is it that you were, I mean, were the rest of you also thinking of classic rock in like in a similar kind of way?
Yeah, I grew up listening to like the Rolling Stones and stuff like that. My life pretty much changed when I heard Led Zeppelin and knew that's what I wanted to do was play drums and
try as hard as I could
to be John Bonham.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what? Why? Just the way he played?
He's just cool, yeah. He's just thunderous behind the drums. Yeah. This is so awesome. I couldn't stop watching videos and bought a drum set pretty much right after.
Wow.
I swear, like, 90% of it is just like, man, these guys are cool. How do I be cool like these guys?
You're in a band.
Yeah.
But how much of it was also the stuff that you were hearing, you know, the contemporary stuff that wasn't quite working for you? Like, was part of that like, nah,
We still really like a lot of modern music, sure. A lot of indie rock and stuff like that. I just think especially when we were young, at least for me, it took me a while to come around to that because a lot of it was missing that angst. Like, I kind of felt like I either had to listen to classic rock or metal or punk, mm-hmm. and a lot of that modern indie rock or pop rock is great, but I just feel like I couldn't find the right angst. And now, you know, I found a lot of great bands that have that.
Yeah.
But I think that's definitely why it's just a little easier to find that angst, which is what I was looking for, especially at a young age in classic rock or punk rock or heavy metal.
But we definitely want to dispel that idea that, like, oh, we're born in the wrong generation and that, like, music, the modern music isn't good. Like, there's that mentality now. Yeah. Like, there's still just so much. There's so much everywhere. There's good music everywhere.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about I don't want to spend a lot of time with the fact that you were once a band and you broke up. But what did you think you learned from that experience?
I think the biggest thing that I personally learned, and I'm pretty sure I could speak for the rest of Quiet Oaks on this, is that we're in it to do it for reals, you know, like having the North Valley kind of fall apart the way it did.
Yeah, let me mention the North Valley. That was I sort of keep alluding to the name, but the North Valley, which was a reference to Davis County, I guess,
yeah,
right?
It was growing up in the North Valley.
Anyway, keep going, sorry.
But yeah, I think when that kind of fell apart, all of us had just worked so hard on it, and, you know, it fell apart in kind of a natural way. Like, it wasn't really, there wasn't like a big thing. We didn't like fight each other or hate each other or anything like that. And so all of us after that happened, we were just like, dude, we worked so hard on that. Like, I'm so tired of working hard on these projects and having it fall apart like that.
Yeah.
And so I think that definitely made us realize, like, well, you know, maybe things fall apart because we didn't take it as seriously as we should be.
Yeah.
If we want to be take it serious, maybe we should be a serious band and do it for reals, you know? And
did you actually sit down and talk about this? Like,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
When the North Valley broke up, it was right at a point where we were starting to kind of get some traction and start doing real things. So when that ended, we didn't want to lose that momentum. We wanted to stay at the same pace that we were at. So we kind of hit the ground running with touring and recording as fast as we could with Quiet Oaks.
One thing, it's interesting, Dane, I'd read an interview where you had talked about the experience with the North Valley. Is that on some level, at first you were sort of playing some of this softer stuff, kind of like Wilco, right? And mm-hmm. you said that, and then we discovered how boring that was to play live. would you talk a little bit about that? Because this idea of being, what's the word you used? It was gently aggressive or something like that. I wanted you to talk about that, and I also want to have you talk a little bit about the importance of playing live, because that seems like a big deal for you guys.
Yeah, well, you know, in previous bands that we'd been in, it was that. I mean, we love that kind of music. We love Americana. We love folk music. We love all that stuff. But, you know, it was like I said, we kind of after a while would play that live and just be like, dude, I just want to bang my head and shred, and I want people to party out there. And it just, I think it feels good for us and for the people watching. And I think we kind of realized that over time, that there's a reason why we go see the bands that we see live. And I think a huge part of that, even if you're not an aggressive band, is that you put on a really fantastic show.
Yeah.
And I think that it just was more natural for us to start playing a little more rowdy rock music to get the kind of energy on stage that we wanted to make people feel the way that we want them to feel. Because, I mean, that gentle aggression thing, I really like that with Quiet Oaks because, you know, I understand that metal and punk rock isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
But the thing that sucks about that is that people miss out on a really healthy outlet to get out your anger and your aggression. And when you have a terrible day and you're pissed off, it's really easy for you to put on some metal and to just get it out in a good way. And there aren't too many rock bands that kind of cater for that.
Yeah.
And we kind of want to be that because it sucks that it feels like sometimes there's only metal or punk to get out that aggression in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. I want to get to this idea of playing live, but let's hear some music first.
Okay.
Cool. This is a song called Keep It Together. And Dane, you said in some ways this is a kind of a good embodiment of where the band sort of is now, in terms of its lyrical content and its musical style. I mean, this is one of the first songs you guys really did.
Yeah, this is one of the first Quiet Oaks songs we had. And one of the reasons I feel like that is because if people want to know what we sound like, we sound like this song. This is really very, very close to what most of our sound is like. And, you know, the lyrics come from a place of being really pissed off, you know. I wrote these right after all that stuff happened, and I was just trying to literally keep it together.
After
the breakup, I was kind of just trying to keep from losing it.
Well, you say, you talk about keeping your head from stormy weather, your secrets kept untold. I mean, all these references to rain and weather, I mean, clearly something was going on in your mind in that way.
For sure. It definitely just felt cloudy and messy up in my head, you know?
Yeah. Well, here they are, Quiet Oaks, with the song Keep It Together.
don't know how to
Keep it together. It's Dane Sandberg, Mike Moon, Kramer McCausland, John Butler, and Spencer Sayer. Next Wednesday, that's the 24th of August, they're starting the West Coast leg of their national tour with a show here in Salt Lake City. They're going to be at Kilby Court. You can get details about all of that and links to Quiet Oaks music on our website, radiowest.org. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, more live music. The band Quiet Oaks is with us to play. It's a group that's bridging the gap between metal and classic rock. Next Wednesday, they're starting the West Coast leg of a national tour. They're going to be at Kilby Court. We'll give you more details about that a little bit later on the program. Dane Sandberg is in the band, Mike Moon, Kramer McCausland, John Butler, and Spencer Sayer. So I wanted to get to the music before I got to this question of playing live, but what? Just give me a sense. Because it seems like you've all talked about this at some point or another, how important playing live is. Would you say something about that?
I think a lot of that comes from bands that we've seen, especially when we were younger. Like, I know Spencer and I saw a Wolf Mother show together when we were really young, right when they were coming up.
That show too.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah. That was before we hung out. yeah, I mean, seeing a band like that, seeing a band like Kiss, you know, seeing all these bands that we saw when we were at a young age, it was kind of like, that looks like more fun than any other job.
I think that's a big part of it. It's just fun. That's just why we play music.
Right.
It's fun to play. It's fun to, like, get the crowd to have as much fun as you have. It's just,
it's part of the energy, is like irreplaceable. The energy, yeah, it's part of the energy, right?
Yeah,
and, I think a big part of it was how much we just enjoyed shows too. Like we wanted to bring that to our show for sure. Like keeping that high energy, getting energy out of the crowd.
Yeah, as many shows as we've seen that were, you know, super crazy and awesome, we've seen a lot that we left and we're like, dude, man, I wish I had my $20 back. Like I don't want a person to ever feel like that ever when we play.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's 2 people or 2 million people watching. I don't want them to leave being like, man, that was kind of boring. It's like, well, you don't have to like it, but it's not boring. We don't want it to be boring.
So what is that? Is there a, like, songwriting core among you? So it's Dane, I figure, but it seems like Dane, you and Spencer have a kind of long-time relationship and maybe even a kind of special creative relationship. Is that?
Yeah. We've been playing together for about 10 years now in tons of various bands. And
where did you guys meet?
We met in junior high. I met him through his older brother when we were in junior high. Me and his older brother hung out like a lot. Like I basically lived at their mom's house. And then, we would kind of jam loosely. Spencer and I were also in percussion class together in junior high.
Right.
So I was hanging out with his brother a lot, but I was also seeing Spencer more while we were actually at school. And then, we just kind of started jamming with all of us and...
You had a little band,
yeah.
Just the Spins, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
just the three of you.
The Spins was fun.
Just party rock.
Yeah,
we were just trying to have a good time.
Yeah, the Spins was basically built around like, how could we get people to our shows? We could buy a bunch of beer and tell them that they could drink it, and that was kind of what the Spins was based around.
It worked. Totally worked.
Of course it did. So what's the process like now? You've been together a while now.
Well, everyone can buy their own beer now.
Yeah.
So we have to make
beer?
It a little,
harder
a
to
little
get
better.
Shows.
I think that the general process is usually, I don't know, something will kind of spark it for me, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it begins
with you, though.
Yeah, yeah. Usually. And there are cases where this isn't always true, but. Most often, I'll usually write something pretty close to a full song on acoustic and with my vocals, whether it has lyrics or not. Sometimes I kind of struggle with lyrics and I put those in later.
Yeah.
But I usually will write a mostly arranged song, and a lot of times I'll show that to Spencer, and Spencer and I will kind of either jam it acoustically or jam it electric with just guitar and drums and kind of see what we think the feel should be. I'll kind of explain to him what my vision was writing it. He'll kind of explain to me what he heard, you know what I mean, what he feels like it should sound like.
And you work it out.
And then the whole band gets together, and once we have that kind of core and everyone knows the song, then we just kind of jam it, and we try it a few times in a few different ways. And
usually changes quite a bit. Everyone pulls at it in different ways.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because I want to have you guys play I Don't Bleed. Spencer, you've said that this was one of the first Quiet Oaks songs that was really kind of a group effort.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first Quiet Oaks song that I felt like was the sound we were going for.
Really?
It was like, Dane showed it to me. It was the first one. It was like, that's the one. That song is great.
What about it?
Play that.
Do you think?
I don't know. It's just exactly what I wanted to go for. Like, the sound was what I wanted Quiet Oaks to sound like. So I think we were all really excited about it.
And I think a lot of it, too, was that some of the earlier songs were more complete when I showed them to the band.
Yeah.
This one was a lot more bare bones. I had like a couple parts. We jammed it with the five of us and it all just kind of came together a little easier. And that's where I think, you know, like what Spencer was saying, all of us were kind of just like, oh yeah, that's like the sound that we want to have.
I'm interested in the some of the words you said. When you cut me to the bone, I don't bleed for you, I bleed for myself. Like, that's an important theme. What's it about?
Well, a lot of these songs are written from a place where I'm talking to myself rather than talking to someone else or about someone else. So it's kind of like when I'm messing up, you know, and I do something stupid, you know, if I'm going to be pissed off, I'm going to be pissed off for a while, you know, and I'm not doing these things for you guys. I'm doing it for myself, you know, and sometimes I feel like that plays in with that aggression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, dude, I don't have to write these songs if I don't want. I don't have to say these things to you. I don't have to share this personal stuff with you. And as much as I want everyone that's listening to enjoy it, a big part of it is that I'm not doing it for them. Like, I'm doing it for us, you know? Like, we want to get those feelings out. We want to get that aggression out, too.
Yeah.
Just as much as we want our fans to, you know? This is our outlet, and...
Yeah.
Sometimes
I
think a lot of people start a band because they want to, you know, look cool or this or that. And we have that a little bit, you know, but I feel like the biggest reason we're a band is that it's just like, man, we got to get this out of us somehow, somewhere.
Have fun.
All right, play this, will you? This is Quiet Oaks, I Don't Bleed.
like rolling over, swiping blood off of my shoulder. There's something left for you to do. So take a chance on the afterlife. I know it's wrong, but baby, it feels right. I paint the picture, I always dream of my blood soaking your fiddle sheets. And there's nothing left.
Great. Quiet Oaks, it's I Don't Bleed. How long does it take? Do you guys need to take a breath?
No, we're good, man.
We're good to go.
How long does it take before you realize, like, I'm sure you had questions like, okay, so we broke up, that was working, we were, like you said, we were sort of headed somewhere, didn't work out, and we sort of start again, and at what point in that process do you realize, oh, I mean, Spencer, you were saying earlier it was really that song, I Don't Bleed, where you thought, oh, this is what we want. So how long does it take before you figure out, oh, this is right, this is going to work?
You know, that's kind of a hard question.
It was almost a year for us.
Yeah, is that right? I mean, it's like I definitely felt it maybe like 6 months or so. When we did a tour and we were down in Nashville, I felt it a lot then that this was kind of the right move. But I think, honestly, the biggest moment for me was coming back from that and a lot of the people in Salt Lake that supported us had mentioned that they liked it, you know. And some of them had said that they liked it more than the North Valley. Some of them said they liked it as much. And that was a really good thing to hear at that time because, you know, as much as we knew we wanted to play music, it's still kind of scary, you know, to start over again. It's uncertain territories, but... I mean, the North Valley is kind of pushing in this direction anyways. And so Quiet Oaks just kind of is like, well, we'll just start there and then push from there. And I think it probably came at a different time for all of us, but maybe 6 months to a year, sometimes in between that, all of us were kind of just like, yeah, this is it. This is the band that we want to be in. This is the music that we want to play.
Yeah, totally. For me, it's when we wrote I Don't Bleed. I think... That song, when Dane showed it to me, I got chills. I was like, that's the music I want to play, and that's the music I will quit my job and tour with. Like,
really?
I'll do it if we sound like that.
I think it was Keep It Together for me. Keep It When... And it's, it's a bass-driven song. Yeah, right away. I was like, oh, man, this is too much fun. It's just so much fun.
But, Mike, you were kind of the new guy, right?
Yeah, I was the tour manager for the North Valley, and then Kramer and I played in a band way back in the day together. We used to play with the Spins, and that's how we all met each other.
Wow.
Because the Spins threw the best parties. And so we'd always made sure to make it to the Spin shows. Because
they're pumping their fists, by the way.
There was drinking, and we'd always go to a house after, and it was always a party.
My poor mother had to deal with all those house parties.
But I did get to go on a tour with the North Valley and get a taste for tour life and really realize, like, wow, I want to do a lot more of this. I want to be on the road.
Right.
I love this group of guys.
There was this review in Slug. Benjamin Tilton wrote that that the sound is, your sound is also bluesy. This is what he wrote. He said, it's soft, but you can still jump around to it. Did you like, do you like that? Yeah, does that work?
Yeah.
We have John. John's kind of our blues man. He makes us sound way more bluesy than we probably are.
I can't help it.
Is that right?
He's the axe man.
He's our ace in the hole, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. I think that's where most of our blues comes from.
Then what are we doing?
Is that true? Is that the way you feel? Like at the core of all great rock music is blues?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, all the guys talked about classic rock as being their big influence. I started with old blues music like Muddy Waters and Stevie Ray Vaughan and T-Bone Walker and like Sonny House. Like, I just blew up wanting to be a good blues guitar player, and then you listen to people like Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix, and then they're like, oh, that's where the blues evolved to, and then it just keeps going. And that's the way I like to play guitar. And
so you feel that connection between blues and rock all the time.
Definitely.
When you play.
I think they're intertwined.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, so let's... I don't know how much we need to say about Guns. I think Guns is an interesting song. So it seems like on one hand, like, and you'll get a sense of this, but it seems like, Dane, like, on one hand, like, Guns are terrifying, but they're also kind of cool, or there's something interesting about them.
I mean, whether you like it or not, they are interesting and intriguing. I mean, I think that song, that one is kind of... Oh, how do I put this without sounding like a madman? Sometimes one of the things I love about metal and punk is that they kind of have this, kind of sarcastic way about talking about some pretty intense, violent or scary stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like doing that stuff every once in a while. Like, I like that the lyrics in that song don't really mean that much. But they are kind of jarring when you hear them, some of the lyrics in that song, it's just like, whoa, is he talking about killing himself or people
what's
hurting
he doing?
Other people?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but it's, you know.
Keep them guessing, right?
Yeah.
All right, play it. This is Guns, Quiet Oaks. Any worse. I said, God, Quiet Oaks next Wednesday, the 24th, they're starting their West Coast, the West Coast leg of their national tour. They'll have a show here in Salt Lake City. They'll be at Kilby Court. You can get details about that and links to their music on our website, radiowest.org. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The chatting you hear there in the background is Quiet Oaks. Dane Sandberg on vocals and guitar. Michael Moon on bass guitar. Kramer McCausland, he's on keys. John Butler's on lead guitar. And, of course, Spencer Sayers on drums. They're going to be beginning the West Coast leg of their national tour at Kilby Court next Wednesday. We'll give you details about that a little bit later on the program. Or just go to our website, radiowest.org. All right, I want to have you play Easy. I think this is my favorite
cool
so far, and I think that there's something really raw about, like, a lot of your stuff is raw, but there's something really raw about it. It's very, I don't know, it seems like almost a ballad to me in some ways. And there's something, Dane, you said you've talked about working with the way words feel when you sing them.
So that, honestly, as much as this might make people laugh, one of my biggest influences is Eminem. I grew up listening to his stuff. My older sister gave me his CDs when I was a kid. And I read an interview with him a few years back that talked about how a lot of the times when he writes lyrics, he'll write one line, and then the line below it, he'll make every word match with every sound of, like, each sound in the line before it.
Yeah.
And then I started listening to some of his songs and hearing that, and I was like, man, that's a really unique way to write your lyrics. And, like, I think that a lot of the times when I'm writing lyrics, I'm much more concerned with how it sounds and what it feels like rather than the actual words, you know?
Yeah.
And I think using those kind of strange rhyme schemes or using a little more intense imagery, even if sometimes it feels like the lines have been plucked from random places, I just like the way it feels more, man. And I think that as listeners, people enjoy that too, you know?
You've said Easy is, in some ways, kind of like the polar opposite, at least lyrically, to Guns.
Yeah, well, I mean, Guns, I was kind of talking about how a lot of times when I write lyrics, you know, my voice is an instrument too, and all the words don't always have to make sense all the time. And Guns is definitely one of those songs, and I was like, these lines sound cool, and this is fun, and let's just jam it and play it.
Yep.
Easy is like the opposite of that. Like, I sat down and wrote these lyrics, and they have a really special place to my heart. You know, especially the chorus, it kind of, you know, after a while, you kind of just realize that home isn't really a building anymore, you know? Home is who you surround yourself with, and I just feel very fortunate with the family and friends that I'm surrounded by.
Well, you say in the song, the family and friends that I call home, they ain't never going to show me a side I don't adore. So no matter what, I love them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I liked this. He said, there's a glimmering of hope.
Yeah.
Like this idea of, this is a really hopeful song.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I really like the way that it sounds intense, especially kind of towards the end.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, I mean, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm a hateful person. I'm pissed off a lot. And I like this song and those kind of lyrics, and my family and friends, you know, they really help remind me to be like, dude, calm down, man. It's not always all bad all the time. Like, you have a really special life and really special people to surround yourself with. So, I mean, that glimmering of hope comes out in them, you know what I mean? And it makes it come out in myself, too.
Yeah. Here it is, Quiet Oaks, with the song Easy.
Tell me that it's and I'll try to let it go. The family and the friends that I call home, they never gonna show me a side that I don't adore.
What's success? How do you define success?
As a musician or as a person?
Whatever.
I would say to us as musicians, success for us is that we can survive and have a home and play music without having to work another job.
That's about it, yeah. That would be success. If we could do that, I'd do it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
How are you feeling at this point? You're heading into the western leg of the tour. You've been in other places. You've been in the south. People are reacting.
I'm feeling great. I mean, I think all of us are feeling really good about the east leg and the south leg of the tour. A lot of those places we've never really been, and not just as a band, but like we've just never even been to some of those parts of the country. And so it was really special every once in a while, like in a place like Providence or Buffalo or Beaumont, Texas, these places that we'd never been to ever, where all of a sudden there's a ton of people there that really loved our music and bought all of our merch and were asking us to come back, you know, like that. That's a really cool feeling to feel that, you know, there are still people out there that that really give a damn. Yeah. And if they like your art, they'll support you and let you know, you know. And we're getting really excited for the West Coast, too.
Yeah, the West Coast is our home. We've been there before, so we know people. Shows are going to be really fun.
Well, good luck. You guys deserve it. Quiet Oaks, Dane Sandberg, Mike Moon, Kramer McCausland, John Butler, Spencer Sayer. Next Wednesday night, they're going to be starting that West Coast leg of the tour with a show at Kilby Court. You can get details and links to the music on our website, radiowest.org. One last song as we head out. They Don't Need You, this song. And I'll just say this is Radio West, a production of KUER News, the program produced by Tony Liu. Today, also Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Thank you.